I think I'm just going to make a copy of this to each one of you. You can take it and go home and read it. I thought for a change, I would give some Bibles out so you don't have to use your phones. How is that? So if you don't have a Bible like this, you can come and get one. Yeah, be brave. And then we don't have to be distracted by, you know, social media and WhatsApp and Candy Crush. So if you don't have a Bible there, you can come and grab one. We're going to be focusing on one part of Ephesians. So you can leave it open because we're going to just keep going to that. Well done, people. Look at you. Good Christians. You know, if the Queen got one on her coronation day, I bet we should all get one as well. I think it's very important, right? Right, Brian? It's with a lot of fear that I stand here and speak to you about the Word of God, because I think Jesus was the only one that had fully understanding of what God wanted to say to his people. And he knew that because he was the Word. He is the Word of God that came on flesh to speak to us. I don't think anyone else, and I love people from the Bible, I love especially Paul, he's one of my favorites, and he spoke with authority, and Peter, and all of, you know, Jesus' disciples, and people that had visions. Still, they couldn't fully understand the Word of God. Only Jesus could. So I stand here in a lot of fear, knowing that I'm not able to speak like Jesus spoke. But thank God I have the same spirit that was in him. And my mind has lots of things in it. And if you know me a little bit, and I think Marissa is the one that can say, you know, how a little bit how my mind works, is I have lots of thoughts at the same time happening. And I read 3 or 4 books at the same time. That's not really good, but that's how my mind works. And sometimes I'm talking to Mauricio and I'm thinking about something else that has nothing to do with the subject. And then I have to stop and think about that. And then somehow I connect the two things. So I'm hoping you kind of, you can follow what I'm saying today. So God has been talking to me a lot about my identity. And one thing that we see in the world today is that the world preaches that you can be anything you want anywhere you go. And the world is fighting for that. They are fighting and they have been, there is an agenda, you know, for you to have the chance to be whatever you want to be anywhere you go. And if you go to a country and they are not happy about you being something that you think you are, so okay, I choose to be a cat, and I go to a country but they say, no, you're not a cat, you're a human, and I could sue them, you know, because they are not walking according to what the rest of the world is saying. And so there is this thing that the world is doing, and that makes people very confused. You know, for this generation, I see with my children, I see with some young people, like on their 20s, how confusing it is, because everybody tells them they can be anything, but no one tells them how to do it, or how it's just do whatever you want, be whatever you want. And that's not helpful, is it? You know, we all need guidance. We all need something to follow. We all need an identity. There is a whole generation lost looking for their identity. And the Bible says in Ephesians, so if you want to open your Bible or your app in Ephesians, we're going to read from the first chapter only. But Ephesians is such an amazing book, You know, we could spend our entire lives just going through this book. And it's so complete and so amazing. So, in the letters of Paul, in 13 of his letters, did you know that he used in Christ 164 times? In only 13 letters. So I think it must be important. I think he's trying to say something to us. And if there is an in Christ, that means that is outside of Christ. So I want to talk a little bit about these two places, but mainly about what it is to be in Christ. So Arthur, or Archie, is going to read it to me now. Ephesians 1, from verse 1 to 14.
Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Jesus Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory.
Amen. So that's what we're going to be looking at today. But please don't let me stop you from looking at the rest of the book. We all have to go and do it for ourselves. We all need to go and read it for ourselves. Don't let the preacher stop you from learning more. You know, it's always good to have all these resources, apps and, lecture, when, internet, Google, all of that. But if we want to know who we are, we need to do our own digging. We need to go and read. We need to go and find what God has for us. We need to go and find for ourselves, and we can do that with our brothers and sisters, sharing, something God spoke to us. But please, do your own digging. So the world says that we can be anything, right? Anywhere, I said that. But God says that we are called to be like Jesus. So Romans 8:29 says that for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. So we are called to be like Jesus. God says that there is only one place for us to find our true identity. Can you guess who that place is? Because Paul says, 164 times. In Christ, right? It's in Christ that we find who we are. So when you are in Christ, you will find two different things. You will find who Christ is, and you will find who you are. It works a little bit like a mirror. And as you see Christ, you see yourself. And I have to say, it's not always pleasant. Because I don't know if you bought a white shirt, a new white shirt, and then you bring it home and you put next to another white shirt you have, an old one. And you just know how the old one is yellowish when you compare it to the very bright white new shirt. Or anything white that you buy. But it's when we compare ourselves to Jesus, that's how we know who we really are. So this encounter, this place that we need to be, is extremely important. We need to be in Christ. And don't be fooled, you know. You will be following someone in your life. You will be following something. We are made to follow. And it's when we are in Christ, that's when we decide who we're going to be following. So you're going to be following internet, you're going to be following social media, you're going to be following that stuff, because we all do. But the main thing is, who are we really following to the point that it will change who we are? Who is the main person that we're going to follow, that will change us, that will transform us? What kind of mirror are you facing now? So if your mirror, it's what people say about you, you're going to compare yourself to them, right? If your mirror is Jesus, you're going to compare yourself to who Jesus is. So God says that we are called to be like Jesus. And when we know who we are, we know what we are called for as well. And we need to go back to the Word of God to understand that. And I know it sounds like super scary to say doctrine. But doctrine actually is just like another word for teaching. But I know it has it can be heavy when you say that. When you look at the church years and years ago, maybe, you know, centuries ago, it was such a heavy word because, you know, it was law, and you had to follow, and you would be punished if you didn't follow. But what Paul says is that we need to go back to the basics. We need to go back and make sure our foundation is solid. Jesus must be our foundation. And we only know what the foundation we have in us when we get to know Jesus. In Ephesians 1:1, if we go back to that one, and it says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ. Just by reading this one verse, we have so much information about Paul, don't we? Who he is. His name is Paul. It says, you know, what he's called for. Who is he? What's his work? What's his job? He's an apostle, isn't it? Is he called by anyone? He's called by God. Was it by his will? Trust me, I'm not here by my will. I'm here in obedience to God. And he was there in obedience to God. So he's called by God. So can you imagine in those moments where he's doubtful, when he's in prison, when he's been beaten, when he's lost on the sea, and he's thinking, oh, for goodness sake, why so-and-so told me to go on this trip? So not knowing who called you can lead you to frustration, can lead you to doubt, can lead you to even giving up. You know, you can just give up because, you know, how can you trust this person? You don't even know what they're doing. But if you're called by God and you know that will keep you going because you know who called you. That talks about his identity. And he says to the saints who are in Ephesus, he knows who he's talking to. So he knows about his calling and he knows where he's going to and he knows what he needs to do. Because he knows he's called by God to that people. at that point in his life. So Paul belongs to God, and Paul was called by God, and Paul knows what he needs to preach. He knows the purpose of his calling, and he knows where he needs to find what he needs to share, the word of God. So, let's think about us these days, okay? And let's think about cookies, not my dog, Cookie, and not cookies that you eat after the meeting. You know, the ones you find on the internet. Okay, I don't know if you heard about it, but you know when you have to say you accept stuff before you go online or something, that just pops on your screen and then you have to accept or reject. Annoyingly, some of them you cannot reject, you just have to accept or you have to get out of the website. And Archie, do you mind reading what cookies are?
Romans 8:29, right?
Sorry, no, cookies. Down there, on the third page. The other one. The other way. Let's see. On the top there.
Cookies are pieces of information saved about you when you're online, and they track you as you browse. There are first-party cookies that are placed by the site you visit, and then there are third-party cookies, such as those placed by advertisers, to see what you're interested in and to turn serve you at and in turn serve you ads, even when you leave the original site you visited. This is how ads follow you around the internet.
That's just scary, isn't it? Yeah. So websites will collect a lot of information about you, you like it or not. Some of them you can say you don't want them to, but some of them will collect some kind of information about you, about what you like, what you don't like, about, you know, funny enough, we have like a bit like, so there's the microphone on your phone, right? And you can use Siri or Alexa or Hey Google, I think. And they are always listening to what you're saying because, of course, they're always like ready for you to say, if I say, Hey Siri, probably my phone will go off. So if I say that, it will be ready to do what I want them to do. So if you say, Hey Google, and then you ask a question, so Google has to be always aware of you, of what you're saying, alert for a command, right? And I started seeing all these ads on my phone about holidays. And I didn't know about that, about Siri at that point, that it was always, you know, listening to everything. And I said, that's weird. And I said to Mauricio, let's try something different. So I would go around my phone and just go like, pregnant. And then, blah, 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 baby. And then, you know, just go around. And a few minutes later, like, nappies, you know, help to raise a baby and things like that. And then, not joking, on the same day, I had lots of apps about, you know, pregnancy tests, you know, how to save money for children. So my point is, what we say, it says a lot about us. Our attitudes, our reactions, they say a lot about us. And when we are in Christ, that's what we should reflect. People around me, they should be able to collect all these cookies and say, Sibeli is a Christian. Sibeli has fear of God. Sibeli is super angry all the time. Sibeli is not very nice. Whatever I do, it will give you the opportunity to collect all these cookies. And those cookies will say about what I like, what I don't like, where I've been, where I'm going, the things I want in my life, the things I don't want in my life, the people I like, the people I don't like. So all those things, they must reflect what I'm looking for. It's a mirror. And it, you know, Jesus will reflect himself on me. I need to be reflecting Jesus to other people. So think of like a three thing, okay? A mirror here, then I'm a mirror as well, and I need to reflect that way. So at the same time, I'm looking at Jesus, I'm facing Jesus, and I need to reflect him. People need to look at me, and they need to see Jesus. And like Paul says, you know, follow me like I follow Jesus. Be like me, because I'm trying to be like Jesus. So it should be, at the end, like a big room with all these mirrors. Have you been to one of these? I think this is very American, but like fun fair. And then you go into a room and there's a bunch of mirrors and you need to find your way out. And it's really difficult because everything is reflecting everything. And you see like a thousands of yourself. The church should be something like that. People around church people. People around Christians. They should be like mirrors. And when they look at us, everywhere they look, they see Jesus being reflected everywhere. And hopefully they won't find their way out. They will have to come to Jesus. So in Ephesians, if you divide the book in three parts, if you divide the book in two parts, from chapter 1 to 3, you will find foundation where Paul talks about who we need to be, who Jesus is, his sacrifice, his work on the cross, why he did that, what is the purpose of us being here, what is the purpose of life. And from chapter 4 to 6, he will talk how to live those things. Okay? So, as I said, I have too many thoughts in my head. Let me just bring them back here. So, it's impossible to know who God really is without going to the Bible. Okay, that's the whole point of having Bibles. You know, someone inspired by God wrote what God wanted to say to us. Halfway the Bible, people didn't believe, so Jesus had to come himself and explain everything. And then the Bible was finished after that. So the whole Bible reveals Jesus before he came, when he came, and when he comes back. If we want to know who Jesus is, we need to go back to the Bible. There is no way out. We have to. Because that's our foundation. That's the doctrine. That's the teaching that must be in us. And when we go back to the Bible, we will find who we are. Again, the mirror. We find who Jesus is. We find who we are. So let's say my car breaks down and Mauricio's not around and I have my phone's not working, so I can't call anyone. So I just go through my car, you know, and then look for a manual. And I find one, an IKEA one, how to assemble a furniture. That's good, isn't it? Very helpful. No, why would I need something, you know, to show me how to put a furniture together to fix my car? Isn't that? It's stupid, isn't it? But then, we do that sometimes with God, you know? We want to be good Christians. We want to have a relationship with Jesus. We want our, you know, fixing, you know, the things in our lives to be fixed. But we don't go to the Bible. We don't pray. We don't listen to anyone preaching. We don't go for, you know, for small groups where we can share life and we can learn from each other. We don't talk about the Bible. We don't drink from the Bible. We don't eat from the Bible. And we think, you know what? If I just carry on with my life, doing things the way they are, you'll be just like someone trying to fix a car with an IKEA's manual. And that will be stupid. So God's calling us to go back to the basics, go back to our foundations, and look at that, look at them, and find Jesus. So if we read just the beginning of chapter 1 in Ephesians. We're going to read it again. Archie, can you read just from verse 1 to 13. And then we're going to try to find a couple of things that Paul says about the church in that on that time. And just to give you a little bit of context, the church was, Ephesus was a place where people went to worship. Not just, you know, the church worshiping Jesus, but different gods, different religions. The church was immersed in, you know, in this place where God was not the center. Just like us, right? Just like us. You go to work, or your, I doubt all your colleagues are Christians. You go home, and I doubt you, all your neighbors are Christians. So we are immersed, you know, in a place where people are not following God. And Paul says that we should not, you know, be shaped by what is around us. So he's saying to the church, you know, let's remind you, Ephesus, of who you are, so you can be a reflection of Christ to all these people around you. So we're going to read again, Ephesus 1. Please, Arthur.
Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Wait. Stop there. Can you tell me any of the characteristics of the church in Ephesus just by reading these first few verses? Anything? Faithful? Loyal? What else? Holy? Sorry? Unity with Christ? If they had a father, so they are children. If they're children, not just one child, they have what? Brothers and sisters. And if Jesus is Lord, God is Lord, so they are servants. Look at all these treasures in just on the first few verses. You can carry on, Archie, please.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestines us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit.
Thank you. So, any other things that you can find in there? So we're not going to go one by one, like verse by verse, because then we will stay here till like 3 o'clock. But can you say anything else? So we said, you know, saints, faithful, children, brothers, sisters, servants, blessed. What else? Chosen. Loved. Anything else? Adopted. Go to verse 7. Every single verse has something. Set free from our sins. Through his Spirit, we now have knowledge of Christ, right? And his mystery. We're heirs. And we're called to praise him. We're saved. We're sealed. Amen? Isn't that amazing? And then Paul is talking about the church in Ephesus. He's talking to them, but he's talking to us. He's talking to me. So when I doubt, you know, about my life, and I have doubts about my calling, and I have doubts about, you know, who I am, and I just need to go back to what? 6 verses from one chapter, one book in the Bible. And that's enough for me to, you know, to chew on that for days. That's enough to keep me going. That's enough to tell me who I am and just bring me back to the right place. Maybe my mirror is not facing Jesus. Maybe my mirror is facing someone else and I got confused. Those things will bring me back and I'm going to be facing Jesus and I will know who I am. So if we skip to Ephesians 2, I know I said we were going just to read from Ephesians 1, but if we skip to Ephesians 2, verses 11 and 12, okay, another thing that, you know, when we face Jesus, that will help us to remember where we came from as well. And, you know, when we are in Christ, that shouldn't be something painful to look at. We were talking to Lee this week, and we spoke about that. You know, our past should be like a scar. You know, it's there. You know, I have a big one here on my finger. And if I touch it, it doesn't hurt me. You know, it's not painful. It's just a scar. It's just a tiny thing that reminds me of, you know, that one day I had an accident. And I had to go to the hospital to get stitches on my finger. But it doesn't hurt me anymore. But it reminds me that I have to be careful, you know, so I won't hurt myself again. So our past should be something like that. And should our past, when we look at Jesus and we look at our past, it should make us thankful for his grace, his mercy, because we know where we came from and we know where we're going and we know where we are. So Ephesians 2, 11 and 12, it talks about that.
Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world.
See how horrible it is to be in a place that is not Christ. You're hopeless. You are God's enemy. When you're not in Christ, you are God's enemy. Trust me, not a good place to be. Because when God comes with his wrath, when God comes with judgment, and I know some people say that, don't preach about hell, don't preach about, you know, judgment. That's not good news. Good news is not that, but we need to remember where we are without Christ. So when Jesus saves us, we are thankful because we know, and that will keep us in the right place because we don't want to go back to that. We don't want to end up in that. We don't want to end up in a place where God will come with his wrath. But if we are in Christ, when the wrath of God comes, we will be protected. That won't touch us because the wrath of God will come. Judgment will come. When Jesus comes back, the judgment will come. You can just look it away. You can just, you know, you can just look away. You can just pretend nothing is happening. You pretend that you have everything under control. It won't change what's going to happen, people. God said he's going to come back. And if you are in Christ, you will be protected. You will be protected from Satan, from hell. But oh boy, you need to be worried about God. Because God's going to destroy Satan. So He's bigger than Satan. He's bigger than, you know, all evil. So we need to be in Christ. And that fear in us must drive us to be in a relationship with Jesus. So in Ephesians 4, 17, 20.
Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. In the futility of their minds, they are darkened as their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become clueless and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity.
So he's saying, you know, don't be like them. You see, in chapter 4, he's comparing and saying, you know, that's how you should live your life and that's how you shouldn't live your life, right? So he's saying, don't be like them. You're not called for that. That's who you were. That's not who you are anymore. So he's calling us to a new life and he's calling us to practice what we learn. So we learn from the Bible, we lay firm foundation, and we walk on it. So in Ephesians 4, 20, 23, and I'm nearly finished, it says who we are, what we are called for.
But that is not the way you learned in Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness.
Okay, so I have a couple of slides now, and we're going to play a game. True or false? So I'm going to put a slide there. And then that's something maybe the young people on the back there, the girls and Javon. It's probably something you guys hear all the time and you see that on the internet. Not, can we have the first one? So do you think this is true or false? Don't rely on anyone to get what you want in life. You know, if you want something, you go and get it, girl. Is that true or false? According to the Bible, of course. What do you think? Yeah, I can't hear you. False. What does the Bible say about that? One, two, three. Play. Oh, it worked. So Galatians 6:2 say, bear one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. When you help each other, when you don't do things all by yourself, you help each other to do what God wants you to do. What's the law of Christ? It's the foundation of your life, right? It's how to be a Christian. If you don't know how to do it by yourself, that's okay. That's what God made us into a church. You know, I say that to my children. You need your parents. You were not born in trees. If you didn't need parents, you would be born on trees. You know, we just collect the children and take them to school, and that would be it. You know. The next one. True or false? Life is about changing. Nothing ever stays the same. I like those things, you know, like nothing, never. Do you think that's true or false? Yeah? False? That's what Hebrews says about it. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. You see, no, I'm not going to say anything. Let's go to the next one. That's from Oprah. Do you think this is true or false? You know, the lady from America that, you know, she does like shows. I know for sure what we dwell on is who we become. Do you think that's true or false? Yeah? Think it's true? Let's see what the Bible says about it. Be not deceived. Evil companionship corrupt good morals. Look at that. Oprah was right. Good for her. So, and Selva. And Selva. Well done, Selva. And the last one. You can do anything. I said anything. You can set your mind to. It's the power of mindful wishing. Is that true or false? Probably false. Yeah, but you can do anything, right? Yeah, you just put your mind on it. And man, you can be anything. So tomorrow morning, if I decide I'm going to wake up tall, blonde, blue eyes, Chinese, just wait for it. Next Sunday, I'm going to really put my mind on it. And oh, man. See? Yeah. That's dangerous. So what does the Bible say about that? The Bible says that the mind of a person plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So at the end of the day, it's what God wants. He wins. So just to, you know, finish. I would like to give you a couple of advices, you know, and I'm not Jesus, so I can't tell you do this, but I strongly advise you to do what God tells you to do, because not obeying God is not a great thing to do. So I want to say to you, read or listen your Bible. Okay, we're all different. For some people, it's easier to read. For some people, it's easier to listen. We have no excuse, at least not in this country. We just came in. You know, most of us didn't bring a Bible. I didn't bring mine. And we had Bibles everywhere here. We have apps. We have easy access to God's Word. We have, you know, people we know that we can talk about the Bible. So we don't really have an excuse. Talk to people around you, you know, mature Christians that can help you to understand the Bible when you don't understand. You know, it might be something that it's really difficult for you, or, you know, it might be difficult for me, but maybe it's something that God spoke to Helen before, and then she might be able to help me with that, to understand what God wants to say to me. So it's good to talk to each other about the Bible. There are many books that you can read, good Christian books. We've been trying to post on WhatsApp group, you know, like book titles that, you know, that you can read that are good. But don't stop there. Don't let other people do the work for you. Go and read your Bible. Look for something. You saw that, you know, in just a couple of verses, you had so much in Ephesus, you know, in Ephesians, talking about the church there in Ephesus. And you know, stop, look at the Word, and look, ask the Holy Spirit. And then, you know, pray before you read your Bible. You know, be humble. Say, God, I don't know everything. Please teach me. What do you want to say to me today? And read after you read, you know, pray after you read your Bible. Because after you read it and God spoke to you, you better do it. You need to practice. And you need the Holy Spirit to give you grace to practice that. And, you know, the Bible says that you can, you know, we should stick, you know, scriptures all around our houses. You know, you should put scriptures around your doors, because those are good reminders of how we need to live. So, you know, write Bible verses, even if you don't understand, stick them around your house. Make sure they go inside your head. In Portuguese, there is a Bible verse that my mom absolutely loved. And it was kind of scary because it says that you need to put the word in your mind. But the word in Portuguese means crack open the head and put something in. And she absolutely loved it. And we were like, let's read the Bible. Okay, mom. You know, yeah, I understood. Just like, you know, go to Bible study with your parents wearing a helmet, you know. But she absolutely loved it because it spoke about something that you put in your mind, you know. So my advice to you is that, you know, crack your head, your spiritual mind, open and put the word of God in it. Yeah. And to summarize, God is the one who establishes who you are. Not other people, not the world, not your friends, not your parents, not a religion, not a doctrine, you know, preached, you know, by people. And I'm not talking about doctrine, you know, the one that God gave us, his word, you know, by what people say. That's not going to tell you who you are. When you find your identity in Christ, your behavior will change. Do you have a problem with your behavior? Go back to the Bible. Go back to Jesus. Find yourself in Christ. Your behavior will change. In Christ, we will find our place in his family. Do you want to know where you need to be in the church? Do you know what kind of things? Please, I'm not talking about Sunday services. God is calling me. What am I going to do on Sunday service? I'm going to put my name on Bridget's list. Please do that. But I'm going to put my, you know, my name on Bridget's list, and that's it. I'm going to serve coffee. That's brilliant. But we are way more than Sunday services. Outside of Christ, we are foreigners. I know what it is to be a foreigner. It's not easy, people. It's not. You need to find the place, the new place you are in, needs to become your home. And it's a long process. You don't want to be a foreigner in God's kingdom. And when you become a child, you find your brothers and sisters. You find your family. Outside of Christ, we're not family. We're not children. We're not heirs. And we're enemies. And it's not about a religion. What brings us together as family is Christ revealed through his word. Amen. That's where we need to be. And I just want to finish with Ephesians 4:14 that says, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every mind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, in deceitful schemes. Let's have our foundation, you know, built by the word of God, in the word of God, finding ourselves in Christ, knowing who we are and our attitudes, our reactions, our lives, and our behavior will be Christ-like. Amen.